When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour live here on a Thursday afternoon late. Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, always one of our fantastic guests, has done a very in-depth conversation interview with Urban Meyer. He's covered Urban Meyer throughout his career, knows the material well, can't wait to dig in. Ari, thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. And congratulations for surviving a session with Urban Meyer.
Yeah. First of all, thanks again for having me on, Paul. It always means a lot to me. You know, the most interesting thing about him is, you know, his past is what it is with, you know, both his on-field success and off-the-field drama. But he is a very divisive person to people. Like, the feedback from that story was about 90% anger. And, like, I knew that there would be some people who, you know, didn't want to hear from him or you know, thought that, you know, we could use the subject with a, you know, we're talking about recruiting with somebody else. But he has become, for better or worse, a pretty big villain in the sport. And I find that to be interesting. Considering that he's, you know, on TV talking about the game professionally now. You know, it's just, it is pretty remarkable the way that his path has kind of, you know, played out and, you know, the position that he's in now from a public persona standpoint. I didn't really see that coming when I was covering at Ohio State.
Yeah, Ari, listen, I don't know him very well, but I've been around him a couple of times and I've always liked him in those one-on-one, very brief moments. I think he's really good on TV, too, as somebody who is around a lot of TV people. I find him impossible to like, though. I say that in full disclosure. So as somebody who is, before we even get to what he said, because your topics were fascinating, what was he like to cover on a regular basis?
Yeah, you know, that's funny, Paul. I'm going to ask you a question back after I answer. Is that
sure.
Okay?
Absolutely.
I really want to dive into the idea of, like, what is it about him that you don't like? Because I think that that's a very general, you know, observation. And, of course, the things that he did, you know, during his time at Ohio State at the end there, and, of course, you know, the saga in Jacksonville, like, there was reprehensible behavior there. And nobody's discounting it. But there was something about him that invokes that emotion from people, you know. And I don't know if it's, you know, because of the success and then the off-the-field issues and all that stuff combined. But covering him, he was always very personable to me and very good at you know, answering questions and gracious with his time and you know, all the things that you would expect from a beat writer you know, coach relationship. You know, the idea of if I wrote something that he didn't like, I heard from him in a respectful way, you know. And you know, just when you asked him questions, the man answered them. And, you know, you can watch all these college football, you know, press conferences and news conferences and, you know, questions get answered and you have 50 word non-answer answers. Like, he answered your questions, you know? So from, like, a person to person standpoint, I always felt that he was gracious with the media and took us seriously and tried to be insightful and was accessible in times of need and, you know, all those things. So my interactions with him one-on-one have always been, you know, pretty pleasant.
Yeah. Ari, I found myself, it's interesting, long story short, and I don't want to talk too much because I want to hear from you, but I did almost a full day a couple of months ago with Netflix. They're doing this, I don't know when it's coming out, but they're doing this big series on his days at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave a lot of the current answers on Urban Meyer, and the guy who's from London, correct, he said, hold on a second. He said, I'm reading here from a book that you wrote in 2014 about how much you liked Urban Meyer. And I found myself, it helped me better understand where the line of demarcation was, and I'll make it very simple. It was Zach Smith, And I felt like his handling of that was abominable. And he came off as a pathological liar throughout. And so that answers your question very succinctly. What happened to Jacksonville? I was not really around that much of it. I depended on other people. But back to your interview with him about recruiting, I found that to be one of the most interesting. I mean, that was a subject of it, but just his approach to recruiting, especially once he got to Ohio State. Pick up on that part of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Urban is you can like him or you can dislike him. You can think he's a liar or, you know, believe him, whatever you want. There is one undisputable fact, and that is he was one of the best recruiters of our generation, you know. And we are doing a series on The Athletic right now where we, you know, talk to people who have been around the game or in the game about recruiting, and we thought he was a worthy subject to talk about that topic, you know. And people alone really went crazy about that because they don't want to hear from him at all. But, you know, the idea of using recruiting and viewing recruiting as a game within the game is what made him so good at it. You know, there are some coaches who are reluctant to acknowledge the importance of stars or to acknowledge the importance of acquiring as much talent as possible. And as I've said on the show a million times, and I'll continue to say it, so I'm no longer in this business and beyond that, that college football is a game where the games are usually won, you know, the vast majority of them anyway, in the summer and in December when you're signing the players. And, you know, I know that Urban Meyer was a part of the, you know, expansion of the spread offense and, you know, had some great X's and O's contributions to the game. But really, if you go back and look at his coaching track record, he had more talent on his teams and the teams that they were playing 95% of the time. And if you go and look at his record in games where the talent was equitable, it probably was around 500, which would be a pretty good record, you know, against the Alabamas and the Clemsons and all those teams. And he did so because every single day when that man woke up, he was obsessed with recruiting. He was obsessed with what his assistants were doing. He was obsessed with how many phone calls were being made, who they were signing, who their rival was going after, why they weren't, you know, involved with the same kids. You know, and what Ohio State did while I was covering them was, you know, they had a war room for recruiting that they constantly updated based on, you know, areas of the country geographically that made sense to attack, like because Texas was one for a while because Texas schools were down. You know, Florida was one for a while because Florida was down. Like they played the game like it was a game of risk, and they viewed recruiting in a very forward way during a time in which I'm not sure people caught up to that. Now, of course they have. In the world of NIL and, you know, 10 to 12, 15, you know, person recruiting staffs and all that stuff, that's regular now. But back in 2012, when he was transforming Ohio State's football program into what it is today, that was all maniacal obsession over recruiting and doing it in a tactical, you know, smart, mathematically advantageous way, and it paid dividends. And Ohio State was always a very good program. It's one of the programs in the country that hasn't had a long downturn over the course of the past 100 years. But what it is now, it is completely different and further advanced than it was in 2011 before he got there.
Ari, when he went to Ohio State after he took some time off, which ended up seeing him very quickly work at ESPN, it felt like from down south he had taken an SEC approach to Ohio State. What did he tell you about that transition and how he approached it? Because he was an amazing recruiter there.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because my time on the Ohio State beat started before his arrival. I covered the tail end of the Trussell era, and as you can imagine, the 21-year-old me covering what was a huge scandal back then, that was quite the undertaking. But when he took the job at Ohio State, you know, Ohio State, take yourself back to where they were then. That was the team that got blown out by Florida in the national championship game, the team that lost to LSU the following year. There was a general understanding that the Big Ten did not have the speed and athleticism that you saw regularly in the SEC. And I think to a certain extent that's still true today when you talk about the conference from top to bottom. So when he got to Ohio State, he recognized that the old way of doing it, you know, which was, you know, 80% of your roster is from Ohio or the surrounding states, and then you pluck a few out of Florida and maybe get one or two out of Texas and, you know, sprinkle in guys from out of state. He realized that there were still very good players in Ohio, but the quantity of them, it wasn't like it was in Georgia or Florida or Louisiana or, you know, large portions of Texas. And he made a decision and understood that he wasn't going to be able to beat Alabama or Florida or Georgia or all those teams down there unless he took a national recruiting approach and got the best positions at every player, regardless of where they were from. And very early on in Ohio State, his tenure, the state of Ohio, the numbers of the players from Ohio in the classes that they were signing dwindled dramatically. You know, I think I wrote a story in 2016 about it, where I think it was four or five less Ohioans per class right out of the gate. And if you extrapolate that over the course of a 4 or 5 year period, that's almost, you know, a quarter of your roster, or, you know, a third of your roster that's no longer from Ohio. So that was a huge departure. And, you know, I remember the week or month or whatever, the first month he was hired there, he came up into the podium and I was sitting about 5 feet away from him, and he started talking about, you know, the Big Ten's gentleman's agreement about not recruiting committed players is stupid, and the entire conference doesn't recruit the way you need to. And like, he like basically put the entire conference on notice when he got there. And I think what you've seen as a result of it is not only a better Ohio State, but a better Big Ten. You know, and again, it's a very complicated man with a complicated legacy. There's no question about it. But at the same token, like the actual accomplishments from running a football program and the betterment of the conference, I think a lot of that can be, you know, contributed or attributed to his arrival at Ohio State and the way that he approached that job when he got there.
Maybe it's because I've been around and covered Nick Saban for so long that this answer surprised me so much, because, you know, Saban would always say, you know, we just try to recruit the best players to our needs, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Urban Meyer told you that he had a special board up for that school up north, obviously Michigan. Tell us about that story, because that is something that I was really surprised to hear him admit.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is that a lot of the stuff in this Q&A I had heard a lot, because I had covered the team for so long. But, you know, a lot of people are hearing it for the first time. But they were, you know, here's the one thing I'll tell you, Paul. I don't know if he said this on the record or not, but I'm in my office right now, and I've got the first article I ever wrote for a Sunday feature in the Cleveland Plain Dealer framed. And basically, we wrote a series called Breaking Bama, which was Ohio's. This is back in 2013, I think.
I remember the date.
And this was before they won their first national championship, or the championship that he won there. And it was all about the obsession of beating Alabama and being on that level. And it's all about the games that he would play with Nick Saban, you know, offering kids in Alabama and Saban trying to come up into Cleveland. And the X's and O's thing aside, it was all about a board game of recruiting and moving puzzle pieces and how do you use your time and all that stuff. So, like, the real obsession, the real one when he got there was Alabama. It wasn't Michigan. Now, Michigan, obviously, you know, as somebody that grew up in Ohio, you know, he would know you don't succeed at Ohio State without beating that team. You know, Michigan has always been a very great adversary, and they've done a lot of time beating Ohio State in the state of Ohio. Excuse me. And, you know, what he wanted to do was constantly know where they were and how they were doing it. And if they were recruiting a prospect, he wanted to understand why Ohio State wasn't. And he kept tabs on them like it was his recruiting board year round, because, you know, in order to beat Alabama and to be Alabama, you know, you have to conquer your own territory and your rival first. And it was just this constant obsession of not letting Michigan catch back up because of what Jim Tressel did during his, you know, 10 years there, but also while simultaneously chasing the best programs in college football. And Ohio State beating Alabama on the way to the national title at the end of the 2014 season, probably, I think if you asked him in an honest moment, might have been the most significant win of his career, even more so than some of the national championship games, because that was the affirmation that they had done it. Now, ironically enough, I think that was the worst Alabama team that they've had in the last 10 years.
It was.
But still, it was a huge, you know, situation for him as an affirmation moment that Ohio State could compete with those guys. And I think that obsession with Michigan and, you know, Alabama at the same time is what kind of helped Ohio State propel its program forward.
And Ari, not to worry about spilled milk, but to me, that was a moment that I think he was on the verge of changing the direction of college football, because Nick Saban had already established himself on the cusp of being the greatest coach. But had Urban Meyer done what everyone believed he should have done in 2015 and won the national championship with maybe his best team, that was Ezekiel Elliott and countless other players, mm-hmm. That would have been his fourth title, and I'm trying to remember whether Saban has seven now, six at Alabama, and he's won one, two, three since then. I mean, he was on the verge. Had he beaten Alabama the next year in 2015, I mean, he was going to move ahead of Nick Saban. That's where he was at that moment in time.
Yeah, I remember thinking back at, you know, now it's not a discussion. You know, like what Nick Saban has done, I'm not necessarily sure anyone will ever do that again. You know, although Kirby Smart is on a pretty good trajectory right now. You know, and I do think that it's crazy. If you go back and you would have told me on the field in Dallas in the beginning of 2015 when they won their first national championship, that Ohio State will not win one for the next decade, I would have laughed at you. You know, like if you like look back now and I said this on the show, I think, but Ohio State has become probably the most underachieving program in college football in comparison to its resources and talent, you know, in terms of results versus what's coming in. And if you look at like Alabama and some of the other schools that are in that category, you know, Ohio State's bringing in, you know, comparable talent, but they're not putting out comparable results. And the most ironic thing about Ohio State, if you really go back and look at their last 20 years, the history, their best teams haven't won national championships. Like, I think you could make the case that their 19 team, you know, was their best team that they've had in the last 20 years. This past year's team could have won a national title had it made a field goal. The 05 team, the 06 team, the 15 team that brought back everything back, you know, from, you know, the year before and just played like crap all year and didn't even make the playoff. Like that, I mean, like think about how much lost potential there was on what Ohio State could be in the sport right now if it were able to capitalize on, you know, its moments. And some of that was pre-Urban, some of it was, you know, during Urban, and some of it was post-Urban. But, you know, I think that they are situated to compete at a high level, but they are a full step and a half behind Georgia and Alabama right now. And, you know, closing that gap, I guess, could be as thin as making a field goal, or it could be as wide as how different the recruiting class was this year from those two guys. And, you know, college football is just a lesson of just how razor-thin, you know, the results can be. And I think it is a reminder that Alabama has made winning national championships look so freaking easy when really it's so insanely hard, you know? And it reminds you of like just how 1 yard or one kick or one player can be the difference between winning a national championship and being a team that asks itself, what if, for a long time. So to me, that is the way that I would describe Ohio State's program if I had to explain it to anybody.
Ari Wasserman with The Athletic. This conversation could go on all day, and I'm sorry that it's not. Ari, come back. This was fantastic. Great job. Appreciate your time, as
always. Anytime, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on.
Wow. I mean, it's rare that I just sit here and forget where we are on the show. And, I mean, I was just absorbed and riveted by that. We'll take a break. We still have time for you to get in here the final 40 minutes or so.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back. Late Thursday afternoon, early evening. Legend is up next.
Woo!
Rolex limousine riding. Good to talk to you, my friend. I ain't talked to you today or so. Good to
there been a few requests for you.
Well, I was telling my friend off air there, you know, I got to work for a living. Gave up my criminal ways a long time ago, Paul. Got a time clock. Them black hats don't pay for themselves, baby.
No, sure.
Football tickets are $700 now. How the hell am I going? I got to work. Got to work. Oh, I know it's hard for some people to believe that Fine Bomb collars work.
Well, there are a few that don't, so that's where the perception was born.
Yeah, no, my sources told me that Jim works for the circus. Did you know that?
I had not heard that, no.
Yeah, that way he can hide his identity. They promise, you know, he don't like to be seen, so he's one of the clowns in the circus, you know. I didn't know that. A source told me that. Bobo.
Usually.
Hey, Paul, on a serious note, I'd like to congratulate Pat 40 for calling out Kirby Smart. We've heard for weeks, Paul, for weeks now, about Nate Oates. I mean, it's almost like Nate Oates was on the scene, ain't it, Paul? It's almost like he was at the scene. They have villainized this man so much. National media calling for this man to be fired. Well, where's all the Kirby Smart outcry, Paul? I don't even think we would know this now if Jalen Carter hadn't had no arrest warrants. Do you think we would know about it now, Paul?
No. The answer is no.
No. And we know Kirby Smart ain't smart enough to write that statement that he issued. That was somebody else that wrote it. That wasn't even Kirby Smart that made that statement. So we've heard about how bad Alabama is. Well, where's the New York Post now? Where's the New York Post now? Let's hear about how bad Kirby Smart is. Because it was 5 weeks for Alabama. It was 6 weeks. And we still wouldn't know if them arrest warrants wouldn't issue. So I congratulate Pat 40 for calling Kirby Smart out. Let me ask you a serious question, Paul. Between me and you, what we got, like 100 years of watching sports?
Yes, sir. More than that.
Okay, more than that. Maybe 110, 115. I'm 58. I don't know how old you are. I'm not ashamed to tell my age like Jim. I'm 58 and strong, baby. Woo!
Legend, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 30 years younger than you. Are you crazy?
I know you are.
I graduated high school in 1994.
I know you did.
Come on,
you
Legend.
You was an All-American in 98.
I can prove it.
I remember.
I got out of college. I graduated Tennessee in 98 when we won the national championship. I was there with T. Martin.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. I know I'm older than you, Paul. I know you ain't no old man.
I got married last week. What are you talking about?
On your honeymoon. Honeymoon.
Legend, as you call it, I just pulled in from the honeymoon.
I know it. Self-inspired Bob, I said hello. We appreciate it.
We went to Columbiana for our honeymoon. And Larry married us. He's a justice of the peace.
Oh, my goodness. You better check that one, Dad. You better check that one. That might not be valid. But I congratulate Pat 40, Paul, because Georgia, where's the New York Post? I want to see all these people that came after Alabama and made us out to be the worst university in the whole world. I read one article that the Alabama basketball team is now the America's villain. Did you read that, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I read them all. And Wilbon did call Brandon Miller an idiot.
An idiot. That's pathetic. The national media is pathetic on this. To make Nate Oates out to be a man that didn't care. I promise you this broke Nate Oates' heart. And it's broken everybody associated with the University of Alabama's heart.
And by the way, your own columnist there, Joe Goodman. I read his column today on a night when Alabama wrapped up a SEC championship. His headline was "Can't ignore nightmares amid Alabama's dream season."
Yeah, next time he raises his hand, somebody need to slap him and tell him to sit back down.
Didn't get it. He legend. He didn't get his hand called by Nate Oates at the. He didn't make the cut for the school play.
And he won't. And he won't. And he won't. But I want to hear about Georgia at the national media. I want to see them go after them the way they went after us. I tell you this. When Fred Flintstone was on yesterday, I thought I was hearing the Birmingham crime report when he was reading off the We got three arrested for armed robbery. We got three speeders. We got four of this, two of that. What the hell? I ask you this, Paul, with 115 years experience. How many wannabe dynasties have we seen? Miami, Colorado, where they reached the mountaintop. Then they lost complete control of the program. How many of these so-called dynasties have we seen in 115 years that once they reached the mountaintop, they lost control of their players and it went downhill? How many of those have we seen?
How about most of them?
Most of them, except for Alabama. But and that's where Georgia, right now, the wannabe dynasty is crumbling. Every arrest, everything that goes on down there, that thing is crumbling. It's clear that Kirby Smart has lost control of that program, celebrating them paper championships, and it's only a matter of time for you to turn into a Colorado. It's coming, Georgia. You can bet that right there. Hey, Paul, Bruce Pearl went off last night, didn't he?
Bruce is not happy.
They hacking us! They hacking us! I'm tired of being smashed! Well, get you some talent then and you won't get smashed. You know, Paul, they said this Alabama team's going to crumble under the pressure. I've been following Alabama basketball for 50 years, and I'm not pleased with everything that's went on down there, but I still love them and I still cheer for them. But I really believe this Bill Nye's the thing that they got going against the University of Alabama may be the one thing that energizes and focuses this team to go to a Final Four. I believe that's what's really going to happen. And for Arkansas, you suck it, dude. Hey, Paul, what was that tournament that Kentucky was supposed to get in yesterday on that tweet? What was that? What was that tournament?
That was the NCAA.
No, some kind of SEX tournament that.
That was Matt Jones, the sex tournament, SEX.
Yeah, they ought to, Kentucky ought to do real good in that. Yeah, Kentucky. Let me tell you something, Kentucky. That's the real Kentucky that we seen last night right there, baby, Kentucky. You gonna get bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That's one of the worst Kentucky teams I have ever seen. I hope you got some recruits on the way, baby. Woo! Love you, Paul. Elvis has left the building.
We are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We are running out of time here, but let's continue. JK is up next. How are you, JK?
Woo! Woo! I'm going to keep laughing, Paul, about something that ain't...
JK, you stepped on your own call by hanging up. We'll get you back in a minute. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul. I was hoping to hear JK's call. It sounded like a good one coming. But I tell you, that little cute call by Legend, that was just so cute. That was sweet. I mean, you know, the one thing I guess he fails to see, the difference between Alabama and Georgia, for one, Georgia's not playing right now. They're in the offseason. Alabama's still playing for the wins, of course, as the school would have it, you know, because there's nothing to see here. The other is these kids were out, you know, riding around having fun and racing and doing whatever, and tragedy happens. But the other guys, hey, bring me my gun. When somebody says bring you your gun at 2:30, oh, and it's loaded. It's ready. That's not fun anymore. And the other guy had a gun, so what a hell of a mess that was. But, you know, Paul, I got a problem with something you was talking about yesterday. Everybody's talking about the games last too long. Do you realize in the city of Montgomery we're listening to Troy basketball on ESPN radio, and we're watching girls basketball on the TV? Now, if the games are too long, listen, they're the bridge to your show. The SEC hired you first. They hired you. You are the first person they hired for this network. You are not the bridge between two girls' basketball games and why ESPN Radio decides to put Troy on as opposed to your program for 4 hours.
Well, ultimately, that is a local market decision.
I understand that, but that's not thinking bright. That's not thinking bright.
No.
That's not thinking bright.
Well, listen, I can only imagine how exciting Troy basketball is.
Don't they know who you are? You are the Paul Feinbaum show.
I don't think they do.
The Paul Feinbaum. You're not just Paul, and you're not just that guy on in the afternoon on the other channel. You are the Paul Feinbaum, and I'm telling you, games last too long, and I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. Now, one last thought. The cousin Eddie from the Murdaugh trial. Couldn't you imagine a phoner feud between Legend and cousin Eddie? Because cousin Eddie don't apparently give a damn. Have a good day.
Thank you. Well, okay, JK has returned, and we are glad you're here.
Paul, let me try to start this over. Woo! Hey, Paul, ain't nothing like a Georgia story to get that spotlight off the Alabama story. You can drive for 2,000 miles, but it's hard to outrun that searchlight. You can't take the attention off that situation. But, Paul, check this out. I got an issue with what Mr. Legend said a few minutes ago. Legend said Kentucky going to be bounced out of the first round of the NCAA tournament. I believe you're having flashbacks of Alabama getting bounced out the first round of the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. So to celebrate Kentucky not making it, I think you need to look in the mirror at that old Alabama basketball team down there in Tuscaloosa, because they're not winning anything. You just look at the pattern. They played Georgia, an 8-win team. You had to go into overtime for them. You struggle in the next game after that. Then you go into overtime down by 17 at home against Auburn, and this is going to be a number one seed that Bama fans all up and roar about to win a national championship. Please, I'm going to call you back when they get knocked out in the first round of the SEC and the NCAA tournament. I have made the prediction before. I'm going to call you back with the same correct prediction again. So, Legend, stop celebrating and calling here laughing and trying to be at the top of the call or bracket. But I'm going to ease my way into that bracket, and I hope I'm matched up with that fake number one seed Legend. Jane Brown has left the building.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.